The last time we were together talking about sanctification, we talked about the power of the Spirit for the battle of the pursuit. The power of the Spirit in the battle of pursuing holiness. And how it is that we put to death the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. How it is we walk in the Spirit. And basically, we articulated that if you're in Christ, the Spirit is in you, that's the only way that you can put the deeds of the flesh to death. There is no other way. There's no like trying in the flesh. There's only doing it in the power of the Spirit or failing miserably. And so that's the only way that we can. We have been empowered by God through His Holy Spirit to be able to pursue what is right, what is good, what is honorable, really, and what is expressed in the description there of the fruit of the Spirit. So, knowing that, we made three practical suggestions that are part of pursuing holiness in the power of the Spirit. We said three things. Does anybody remember what they were? Prayer is one of them, yes. Pray for the Spirit. God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Prayer is where we express our dependence upon God. And the first, that was number two. The first one we said is fill your tank. So fill your tank with the Word. You're listening, you're filling yourself with the Word of God. Then in the power, you're begging and pleading for God who desires to give the power of the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, you're obeying. You're putting into practice what the Holy Spirit empowers you to do. Obey, and you'll be doing that. Well, that's where we were then. Now, however, if you go, now how are we to approach this whole thing in our lives? Knowing that this is the way to walk in the power of the Spirit, we look at our lives, though, and a survey of our lives reveals many, many areas where sin has run rampant. It's a mess. There's a lot to work on. And so what do we do with this mess? And how do we, in other words, I'm kind of asking the question tonight, how do we get started then along this pursuit? What should be among those things that we, what kind of mindset and what kind of approach do we have to dealing with this mess that we're in terms of patterns of sinfulness and weaknesses and proclivities to do all kinds of things that we've been in the habit of doing? Where do we begin? How do we approach the pursuit, then, of living in holiness, in the power of the Spirit, the way we have seen? So tonight I want to turn to two passages, the first of which is 1 Timothy 4, 6 to 10. It's on your handout, but you could also, it's in the ESV here on your handout. We're going to read these two, and they both have to do with comparing our pursuit to an athletic endeavor. And so it's not uncommon for me to make allusions to athletics. But neither is it out of the purview of the Scripture to look to athletics as an example of how we are to pursue godliness. So first of all, we look to 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 10. And here we read Paul writing to Timothy, and he says this, "If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe." So, as I look at this text and read through it, I see an answer to the question, how do we approach the pursuit of living in holiness? Because we're told here what we need to do. And in a nutshell, the overall approach to the pursuit of godliness designated here is this. Train yourself. This is what you need to do. Train yourself. Now, there's all kinds of details that I find popping out of what Paul says about training yourself, both here and in 1 Corinthians, that we're going to look. So many popped out that I said, we're only going to get halfway through this thing tonight. And there's going to be more to visit next in our next session. But I will say tonight, it's going to be a little bit of repetition, so I don't be disappointed. One major thing will be kind of newish, and then next time we'll have a couple of things that add some more to this whole idea of, you know, having come to this understanding of what it means to pursue godliness and the power of the Spirit. We now, you know, address this thing of how do we get started dealing with the mess that we've seen. So here's what we do. We need to train ourselves. Now, the word translated by the ESV, train, as in train yourself, comes from a Greek word, gymnazē. Now, if you look at that, it's in your handout. Gymnazē is the anglicized spelling of the Greek word. And if you look at that and you change the U to a Y, it would look just like gym or almost like gymnasium. And that is where the idea of gymnasium, our gymnasium, comes from, because the Romans had these buildings that they called gymnasiums, and they were home to lots of games, of athletic competitions and so forth. And this word for training has to do with that sphere of training yourself for these athletic events. And so Paul is using this picture here to show us how we need to pursue godliness, how we need to pursue holiness. Paul takes us right into that arena by comparison by saying bodily training, same word, training, bodily training of your body is of some value. Bodily training had value for what? Seeking a prize in an athletic event. In the arena of the athletic games, you train your body so you might win the prize. And the games demanded physical fitness and agility. I looked up just a little bit, you know, some of the games. They did have gladiators, and they had boxing, and they had to have had running, because Paul brings that up in Corinthians. And there were some more violent games and less violent games, but all of them, for the athletes that would be involved in the competition, it would require that they be on the edge of just being, you know, as strong as they possibly could be in stamina and balance and speed and agility and endurance for their development and their training and developing their bodies to be at their prime for these athletic events. Now, before God, that's before the world then, is this desire to compete and win an earthly prize. But before God, the prize is what Paul calls in Philippians 3, the prize of the upward call of God. So God is his prize, and the upward call of God in Christ Jesus to holiness and godliness. This is the prize before God. It's spiritual maturity. It is holiness of life. It's our sanctification born out in our living. And so Paul is drawing from the realm of the gym to urge Timothy on in his personal training to glorify God. And so this is where we need to start to say, you know, how do we go about this? Now, we've got the strength. Now, what do we do? And Paul would say, train yourself for the purpose of godliness. So, living in a society which held sport in high regard, the Romans, but also our society holds sports in high regard. We cheer on teams and everything just like they did, or perhaps, you know, even to a greater extent. And because we are familiar with sports in various ways, we can relate to what Paul is saying about athletics here, and then how that becomes an image that we can instruct us in how we should pursue holiness, how we should pursue our prize. So it's not to be unexpected that Paul would refer to these kind of games and athletics when he talks to Timothy, but also then to look at 1 Corinthians 9 and see where he does the same kind of thing in another place. So in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27, we read where Paul says this: Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. Think about all the things they need to do in order to be a good athlete. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So with these two texts in mind, the one from 1 Timothy and now this one from 1 Corinthians, let's start with a basic statement that would express how do we get started and what is this, what Paul is talking about in terms of training. And here's the statement. Training for godliness involves exercising yourself, purposeful use of that word exercise, exercising yourself by the Spirit according to a strategic regimen in order to excel in holiness. So here's part of how we go about putting sin to death by the Spirit. We exercise a whole routine for training ourselves in godliness in order to excel in it. So what does this training look like? You know, if you think about an athlete, what does their training look like? And I think from what Paul says here that we're going to be completely legitimized to go into that athletic training circle and see what they're doing and imagine what they're doing and also see how he hints at that in what he says and bring that over into our understanding of seeking to be training ourselves for the purpose of godliness. So I'm going to give you three out of like seven things that jump out to me both in these two texts, but also that come as just in line with thinking in that way. The first one that I want you to look at in terms of how does this look, how does it really express itself concretely in our lives that we would say, I am training myself for the purpose of godliness. Well, it first involves looking at yourself. You notice that Paul says, train yourself for the purpose of godliness. And that may seem obvious, but I was thinking about that a little bit, and it's really something we need to underscore. Godliness training is focused on you. That is, you focus on you. I focus on me. This is what Paul is urging Timothy to do. Timothy, you train yourself for the purpose of godliness. So the life of a Christian is not to be so self-focused that it doesn't reach out and help other people. I mean, think of Paul. You know, we're shown in the scriptures that we're all members of one body. We all have a purpose, and it relates to the whole, so that each part doing its proper work strengthens and builds up the whole body. So it's not as though we're supposed to look at ourselves individualistically and not see that we have an impact on others. But when it comes to training for godliness, we're supposed to look at ourselves. And this is important because we often, if you would be honest, oftentimes you will find yourself looking at others. And looking at others and what they need. Looking at others and what they should be doing. Now, it's not that we should not do that, but our focus shouldn't be. You know, how many times, I remember the first, and if I've given you this illustration, I'm sorry if I've given it before, if you remember it. But I remember one of the first sermons I ever preached back in the church I grew up in. And I got through with that sermon and some people were, you know, coming to congratulate the little preacher boy and the job he's done. And this one lady said, I thought of 10 people that got the very problem you talked about. And I thought, I was preaching to you. I thought, I don't know if I somehow missed the mark. But see, that is our proclivity, though, is to see when we see a problem, we think of others before we think of ourselves. But, you know, a couple of months ago, back in December, I think it was, I preached this sermon on you are your biggest problem. The whole goal is that we need to be really focusing on ourselves as those that need to train ourselves for godliness. More than seeing others who have a need, we need to see ourselves. So we are supposed to help others. But in order to help others, we need to be at our strongest. So listen, look, think how Paul addresses this in Galatians 6:1 when he writes, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him. You who have come to a point of strength by you focused on yourself. You have been, and you're still focusing on yourself, and that is why you are not immature anymore. And you've come along. You are now equipped to help restore someone who is caught in any transgression. When Melissa and I went to South a couple weeks ago, we flew down to Greenville, South Carolina, and we got on the plane, and we were sitting there, just the two of us, because we were in the emergency exit row. And you know how the flight attendants do their little pre-flight spiel about what to do and, you know, what card to read, what card to look at. And as usual, I've heard it so many times, I can almost do it myself. So I'm sitting there not paying much attention. And the guy comes up to me, the attendant says, now, you know, if we are to lose cabin pressure and those oxygen masks drop down from the top of the ceiling, I want you to be sure that you put your mask on yourself before you go and help your daughter put hers on her. He knew, I mean, it was Melissa. And, you know, and he did it again later on. It was funny. It was really funny.
It's still funny.
So my point is, though, I'm telling you that we both had a laugh over that. I think we did. I'm still laughing a little bit about it. He got a laugh in it. But my point, you know, it's always before you're able to help those who are weaker or younger, in that sense, you need to be strong. So we've got to begin with yourself. And instead of often thinking of who else needs to hear this, you need to first, whenever you hear your mind internally telling you of three or four people who need to hear this, you need to stop and say, wait a minute, what do I need to hear in that? What do I need to hear? That's my first thing. Paul says, train yourself for godliness. Now, secondly, firstly, then, it involves looking at yourself. Train yourself for godliness. Then there's the word train itself and what it carries with it. It involves determined exercise. Train yourself. Well, what bodily training? Anybody go to the gym? I have a gym membership, and I probably haven't been for a year, which is a bad sign. I've been paying $10 a month for nothing. I need to get back there. But when I do go, especially after being away for a year, I'll be out of breath in 5 minutes because I am building my stamina back up. And I'm telling you, and you would know, you cannot certainly identify with this probably if you've done the same thing. In those 5 minutes, they're the hardest 5 minutes of your life. You're faced with this constant, just get off. Just get off. This is too, you know, you have to fight to stay there. You have to exercise yourself. There is a disciplined determination to get in it. And you're experiencing all this pain and all this resistance that makes you want to get off. But at the same time, what keeps you there? If I don't stay here, I'll never get any better. And so that's what keeps me on there going, okay, 5 minutes this time and I'll do 10 minutes tomorrow. And then I'll get on, you know, do this one thing a little while and then go to the easy thing for a while. Anyway, but determined exercise. You think this is an area that is important for us to think about, because spiritual growth, though we've been translated into another kingdom, we're still dealing with the flesh and the battle's hard and there's resistance. And so we need to, as we're looking at this whole picture, this whole array of all this pile of sin, we need to be okay face to face with the fact that this is not going to be easy. And I have to have that mindset that I am going into this thing to gain that prize. Looking at myself, I am going to exercise to show improvement in the spiritual realm as surely as also the physical. Now, the exercises of training for godliness are, well, we can think about them. I mean, I put a list of here. What are some of these things that we must do that are part of this exercise, this putting forth of spiritual effort to grow in godliness? Well, they are the simple, you know, simple as reading and memorizing Scripture. Reading Scripture, studying Scripture, memorizing Scripture. And You know, it's said oftentimes in this church that it's never too late to get started in the King's table, in Knights of the King's table. That's true. If you learn one verse that's on the back side, it's better than none at all. But it would be important to learn all of them. But every single one you learn is a victory. It's not like every one you fail to learn is a defeat. Every single one you do learn is a victory. And it needs to be seen by you as an exercise that is keenly attached to the health of your life and the strength of your being able to address this mess that's an array of sinful patterns and proclivities in your life that you are called now to put to death. The training is to engage in the Scripture. I see this as close to what I stressed last time in terms of filling your tank. But still, here is this comes across. We'll see. I want you to see how this comes across in what Paul says. But let me just add to it. Not only reading and memorizing Scripture, but also preaching to yourself, attending unto good preaching of the Bible, to seek to understand and grow, and be with God's people in the context of where this is happening. That's why it is so critical. And the central activity of what we do is the preaching of the Word on Sunday mornings. But also, think of the exercise of actively regulating your thought life. And then, you know, even the practice of placing barriers between yourself and temptation, knowing that there's a particular way in which you're often tempted and a particular place and time and setting in which you often give in, and knowing that you've got to take some steps to keep yourself away from those situations as much as you possibly can. And praying for spiritual knowledge, like Paul does in Colossians 1, 9 through 11, and praying for wisdom, and praying, you know, not just praying in general, but praying for strength and saying no then when sinful inclinations make themselves heard, and making resolutions, resolving, God being my helper, that I'm not going to react that way in that situation again. Making resolutions regularly, and then seeking to energize myself by the power of the Holy Spirit to obey and keep them. And then even something so probably often overlooked is planning. I mean, planning in a sense of how am I going to attack these things? And planning is something we're going to look at more in depth in the next session when we continue to look at it. And what Paul is saying here does involve that to deal then with this mess of sin in your life in the power of the Holy Spirit, there's going to need to be some planning. But you exercise by pushing through resistance. You know, weight lifts, lifting weights, that's all about the resistance of the weight and you getting stronger by pushing through the resistance that weight provides against your muscle as you're developing it. Any and all of these exercises require moment-by-moment persistence and against resistance. So how many push-ups can you do? I don't know how many I can do, but I'd be ashamed to say what they are right now because I hadn't done push-ups in a long time. But when you're doing a push-up, when you first start doing, if you've not done them for a long time, and then you start, even that first one is like, ugh, can I? Second, maybe you can get through two or three, but there's a time in which you're thinking, this is just misery. But it's pushing through them that is the exercise. And there's a similar kind of determination of exercise that's needed for us to make progress in godliness. You have to be determined. And so you're gonna fail. But you need to get back up when you do. Proverbs 26:16 says this: the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in the time of calamity. They stumble, the idea is they stumble and they don't get back up. The difference between the righteous and the wicked is not that one sins and the other doesn't. It's that when one falls, because of the Spirit within, gets back up and goes again. Jonathan Edwards made the following resolution: resolved never to give over, not nor in the least to slacken my fight with my corruptions, however unsuccessful I may be. In other words, he was anticipating that this was going to be a battle and there were going to be times when he would be unsuccessful. But he wasn't going to let those moments of failure keep him down. He knew inevitably he would fail, but he determined not to be overruled by whatever failure he committed. And then, thirdly, the discipline of godliness involves proper nourishment. Now, this is about the word. Okay, again, you can't just stress the word too much, but I want you to see how that is underscored in the texts here, especially in Timothy. Think about athletic training, though. If you're training athletically, it's not just about how much weight you can lift, how far you can run. It's also about what you put in your body. Nourish your body with what is good. So there is a healthy diet that assists and furthers athletic development. Nobody in training these days eats whatever their bodies and their tongues crave. There are foods that help build the body up and foods that bring the body down. And there's also food for spiritual training. Consider verse 7 of 1 Timothy 4. How this is right there in the context. Paul tells Timothy, have nothing to do with irreverent and silly myths, but train yourself for the purpose of godliness. So don't eat, don't partake of this junk food. Leave that on the shelf. Run far from it, but rather train yourself for the purpose of godliness. Because in this case, irreverent and silly myths, anything that deters you from being filled with the pure, unadulterated milk of the Word, the meat of God's Word, anything that's going to take its place, you need to stay away from. And on the other hand, look at verse 6 of 1 Timothy 4, where Paul says this, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of good doctrine that you have followed. Now, interestingly, the word train there is different from the word train yourself for godliness. The word train yourself from godliness comes from that athletic sphere. When Paul says in verse 7 that by these things you are trained, that you are trained by the words of faith and good doctrine that you followed, the word there is one that comes rather from how the kind of training that a child receives. I just looked in the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but through the years that I look at my Testament, the more I recognize words from the past. I saw that word is close. It's like a pedantic. It's like the root word for pedantic, something that is basic. And so this is what is basic even to the athletic training, is that you need the basic training of God's Word to get you, nourished. The word there I jumped ahead to the one from 2 Timothy 3:16. That word is nourished as in just food that nourishes your body. That training, and I don't know why the ESV puts training there, because the word is actually nourished. It's like nourishes and cherishes. So something taking care of your body with good food. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16, though, is an appropriate verse is the one I was going into about the pedantic and the things that are of basic and fundamental instruction. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is breathed out by God, and among other things, it is profitable for training in righteousness. That word training is a word of basic, fundamental learning and that kind of training. You never outgrow the fundamentals. Think about how teams and players that specialize in a certain craft, they get really good, but they are always going back to the fundamentals, always going back to the basics. Even with, think of how a person can learn artistically, play the piano, but they have to go back and train and be trained in those basic mechanics of playing that makes them so able to do things with their fingers on a keyboard that are just amazing. And so, likewise, it is God's Word that's going to feed into us, that's going to enable us to flourish. It's going to enable us to deal with this massive sin that lays before us. And that's where we're going to stop tonight. And next time we'll pick up with four more. We're going to look more at how even the idea of planning and how scriptural it is from a training standpoint, and hopefully progress on through from there.